So good morning. For those of you who came in a little late, I said thank you. Thank you. What a glorious summer the Drake family had. I highly recommend a three-month sabbatical for those of you who can do it. I would write you each a prescription if I could. It was marvelous. Thank you, church. Thank you, Eli Foundation. We're home and we're rested, and we hope it lasts. So in the final 2 weeks of sabbatical, we were here in town. And a part of what I was so excited about for this resting time was I love my stand-up paddleboard. And I go out as often as possible. And my favorite time to go out is sunrise. And I go out with one of my very good friends, and we try to make it a time of silence and prayer. We just go out. And one beautiful pink morning, we were out there pretty far, and I was yammering on about something. I was not being quiet. And Jesus Calling yesterday said this. Said, it is a natural condition that our minds get easily stuck on trivial matters. Like the spinning wheels of a car trapped in the mud, the cogs of your brain spin impotently when you focus on a trivial thing. I was yammering, and my friend, I think she wanted some quiet. She looked back at me and said, Brandy, are you grounded? It silenced me. Brandy, are you grounded? And I had to think, you know, I wasn't. And that question made me think of a puppy named Lucky. I met this puppy in a book called The God-Bearing Life by Kenda Creasy Dean. Here's the story. She talks about her friend Justin. When my 8-year-old friend Justin banged out the front door to meet the bus recently, his new puppy slithered through the open door and took off like a shot. She narrowly missed being flattened by two cars. Justin didn't call her Lucky for nothing. Alarmed, Justin sped after her, which made it even more fun from Lucky's point of view. Every time Justin got close to her, Lucky mustered up Cocker Spaniel warp speed and ran faster. Pretty soon, Justin's grandmother was out on the front lawn, wildly motioning Justin to get back home. Justin protested. Bus or no bus, he had to catch Lucky. His grandmother waved all the harder for him to come home. Thinking she was pulling rank, Justin finally turned around and ran toward home, with Lucky hot on his heels, until both returned safely to the garage. Who's the grounded one in this picture? Certainly not Lucky. Certainly not Justin. Grandma is the grounded one in this picture, the one who doesn't lose sight of home. Instead of chasing Lucky around the neighborhood, which would have looked ridiculous, which is what probably I would have done, Justin's grandmother stood in the front yard as a visible reminder that the important point was not to catch Lucky, but to get Lucky home. To get Lucky home required that Justin come home first. To be grounded is to be like Justin's grandmother. So when my friend asked, Brandy, are you grounded? All I could think about was that my heart had been out chasing a puppy. Are you grounded? Are you grounded? Have you chased any puppies this week? Ephesians 3 shows us that Paul prayed for the church to be rooted and grounded in love. And in Philippians 2, Paul writes this, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith that you were taught, and filled with thankfulness. And our passage this morning is a first-person reflection of a person I believe was grounded. Psalm 131 has become one of my favorites. It's in your bulletin. Psalm 131. My heart is not proud. My heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with matters too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with a mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, O my people, put your hope in Israel, in God, both now and forevermore. Are you grounded? This psalm, I believe, can help us to answer that question. In it, I see four traits of a grounded person. My heart is not proud. A grounded person does not have a proud heart. I have calmed and quieted my soul. A grounded person has a calm soul, a quiet soul, a soul that is able to listen and hear things. O Israel, O my people, put your hope in the Lord. A grounded person has great hope in God. Heart not proud, calm, quiet, and has hope in God. Let's unpack them one at a time, and I just want you to know I'm mostly preaching this for myself. A grounded person's heart is not proud. My father has a pillow on his couch at home, and it's one of those embroidered pillows, and it says this: I may not be much, but I'm all I think about. I love that pillow. I may not be much, but I'm all I think about. And the prophet Obadiah says this: the pride of your heart has deceived you. And Jesus says, I am meek and humble of heart. And Paul in Romans says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to. If you've been around the church long enough, you've heard a few sermons on pride and humility. Maybe been to a few Bible studies even about this psalm. I'm not talking about self-confidence or appropriate enthusiasm about what God has gifted you with. I'm talking about a proud heart. And it's hard to diagnose whether your heart is too proud, isn't it? It's hard to look at yourself and self-diagnose that. So we're going to look at symptoms, and I'm going to ask us 5 questions to just help us diagnose a little bit. And if you don't feel like you can answer these questions for yourself, maybe ask someone close to you to help you answer them. Here's the first thing. I know. Finding fault or scorn. Scorn for other people. My eyes are not haughty. Are you easily annoyed by other people? I can be. Do you talk about other people's shortcomings with laughter or contempt, frustration or irritation? Now, before you answer that question, think about the way you talk about politics. Think about the way you talk back to drivers who are annoying you, maybe in the Good Wife Shopping Center. Do we scorn? Are we disagreeing with people? Pride lies to us. It tells us that we're the ones who define normal, so that anybody who behaves differently than our esteemed selves is behaving abnormally, probably on purpose, just to get under our skin. And when something is objectively and clearly wrong, a non-prideful heart response will not be to scorn or scoff. Humility speaks with grief and love toward the one who is wronging or being wronged, concerned with others' faults. Okay, so do people annoy you? 2, judgment. When needed, when is the last time that you consciously chose to forgive someone or consciously chose to withhold forgiveness on someone? Pride lies to us, telling us that people have no excuse for the bad thing that they did to us, and they did it on purpose, and they're lower than sludge, and we need to hold them in judgment, and they deserve our scorn. Humility reminds us that we are required to do the hard work of forgiveness, and it, friends, is very hard work. And that means that we have to lay down our right to hold the power of judgment over the people who've wronged us. My heart is not proud. Because my heart is not proud, I'm choosing to allow God to do the job that God has, which is judgment, and not me. And so I'm choosing to do the hard work of forgiveness. Okay, do people annoy you? Are you able to forgive? 3, how often do you ask God or others for help when you are in need? How often do you ask for help when you need help? Rarely? Never? Guess what? You might be able to self-diagnose pride. Pride lies to us. Pride tells us that the greatest people are the self-made billionaires, and since we too are great, we must in some way be self-made and self-reliant. We shouldn't need anyone. We should never ask for favors, and we should never let people know what our needs are, including God. Humility reminds us that everything we have is from God, even our bodies, our talents. We do not save ourselves. We are a part of a community that is mutually dependent on God and one another. I'm failing these self-assessment questions. finding fault or scorn, judgment, asking for help. Okay, now here's one that it's a little rough. When you post a selfie or a photo on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or whatever you're doing, how many likes do you need to have before you feel like it was worth your while to post? I'm kind of embarrassed to answer that question. Is it okay for you to have close friends notice, or do you need the attention of people you don't know? If you have fewer than 100 responses, do you take it down? Are you driven to receive the approval and attention of others? Do you compare your photos on social media with the photos of others? Okay, the thing is, we all do, right? Pride lies to us. It tells us that our identity should be based on what other people think of us, how high up the ranking we are, how many likes do we have. Humility isn't ashamed to share. Humility isn't ashamed to put photos out there, but humility reminds us that our identity does not live or die based on how other people respond to us or based on how we perceive other people are responding to us. My heart is not proud. My heart is not proud. Fifth question. Is it hard for you to surrender your will to other people? What's the remote control like at your house? Is it hard for you to watch a TV show you're not interested in if one of your beloveds wants to watch it? How about football? Do you eat meals that you don't prefer? Do you complain when someone asks you to do something that needs to be done that's beyond your job description or your scope? Pride lies to us. It tells us that we are at the center and others revolve around us. It's all about us. I may not be much, but I'm all I think about. Humility reminds us that Christ is at the center, that we revolve around him, and that we are here to love and to serve, and sometimes that means doing things we don't prefer because we love, because we serve. Sometimes that requires surrender and healthy submission. Okay, here's the last question. When I was asking these questions, were you thinking, oh, I got to get a list of those questions from Brandy so I can show it to so-and-so? Uh-huh. These questions are for us. Are you grounded? Am I grounded? Is my heart proud? Eugene Peterson translates it this way. My heart is not proud. I'm not trying to rule the roost. I don't want to be king of the mountain. I haven't meddled where I have no business or fantasized about grandiose plans. I know who I am. I'm loved, and I'm not the center of the universe. Grounded. Okay. A grounded person, I have calmed and quieted my soul. Grounded person does not have a proud heart. I have calmed and quieted my soul. A grounded person is calm. What does calm mean? Well, part of the water out here is calm and part of it is not, right? That's the condition of my soul. Part of it is calm and part of it is not. I think of being rested. I think of someone who's not stressed out all the time, who's not reactive, who is not easily angered. Calm and rested are not floppy or passive. They are solid and grounded. In my mind, the opposite of calm is rushed, hurried, flustered. School just started last week. There's a little bit more hurry in my house, maybe in yours as well. But how can we be calm in the middle of the busy? Dallas Willard said, you must ruthlessly cut hurry out of your life. We've preached that more than one time here. Ruthlessly cut hurry. How do we calm ourselves? How do we intentionally slow down from all the hurry? Sabbath, rest, ground yourself. Some of you, when I asked, are you grounded, thought of a whole different kind of grounded. How many of you have ever been grounded by your parents? You don't have to raise your hands here. That's okay. I understand. I've been grounded. How many of you have been grounded by a broken bone? How many of you have been grounded by a lost job? Grounded by something out of your control, and so you were forced to sit still. That's another kind of grounded, right? We can impose rest on ourselves. And I have to say, 3 months sabbatical, it took me about 3 weeks before I was able to sort of Calm down. Calm down, Brandy. Everything does not revolve around you. You don't have to worry about how things are going at work because you're resting now. When's the last time you grounded yourself? Perhaps some wind will ground us tomorrow and we'll be forced to be quiet. This is the beauty of Sabbath. We're not hurried. We allow ourselves to be and not to get our identity out of what we do. Dallas Willard says this, in Sabbath, the command is, do no work, just make space, attend to what is around you, learn that you don't have to do to be, accept the grace of doing nothing. Stay with it until you stop jerking or squirming. I'm going to say that again. Accept the grace of doing nothing. I think that's the hardest thing. Calm. Ground yourselves. The psalmist paints a picture of what that looks like, a calm and quiet soul. He says, like a weaned child on its mother. Now, in this culture, a weaned child would be a child of the age of 2 or 3 years old. Have you ever been around a 2 or 3 year old? Are they calm? Not so much, right? But when they're sitting on their mama's lap, resting, there's nothing like it, right? Nothing like the picture of a 2 or 3 year old child nestled in on its mama, resting, because they know that's home, they know that's safe. It's a beautiful picture of calm. What better sweetness? A grounded person listens. I have calmed and quieted my soul. A quieted soul notices things. A quieted soul notices people. A quieted soul listens. Henry Nouwen talks about listening a lot. To listen takes courage, he says. To listen is very hard because it asks of us so much interior stability that we no longer need to prove ourselves by speeches, arguments, or statements or declarations. True listeners no longer have an inner need to make their presence known. They are free to receive, welcome, and accept. Listening is much more than allowing the other person to talk while you wait for a chance to say something. Listening is paying full attention to others and welcoming them into our very beings. The beauty of listening is that those who are listened to start feeling accepted, start taking their words more seriously and discovering their own true selves. Listening is a form of spiritual hospitality by which you invite strangers to become friends, to get to know their inner selves more fully, and to dare to be silent even with you. If we are like that calm toddler on a mother's lap, have you ever seen a mama with her toddler on her lap speaking to that toddler? If that toddler is listening well, what kind of words do you hear? Usually a lullaby, a sing-song, an I love you, an oh, I love it when you rest on my shoulder. Friends, when we are calm and quiet and listening to God, what we hear is beautiful. Maybe that mama has to say, okay, little boy, okay, little girl, time to go clean your room. But usually, it's out of a foundation of that kind of love. So when was the last time you were intentionally quiet? When was the last time you stopped chasing that puppy? Finally, a grounded person puts hope in God. O Israel, O my people, O Anaroten Church, put your hope in God, both now and forevermore. Hope is a big deal. Our culture seems to find entertainment in mocking hope. Despair sort of seems to be in right now. And there's a lot of material for us to despair over, isn't there? Our nation is having some despair over race, violence, national politics. Our world is having some despair over terrorism. What we hope in reveals what we look to for security. Do you hope in your achievements, in your accomplishments? Do you hope in your grades? Do you hope in our leaders, in your friendships? All of that stuff lets us down. We know that. That's why you're here in church. The psalmist encourages us to put our hope in the one who's worthy of our hope, the one who's given us life, who loves us, and who sacrificed for us. Our hope is not fuzzy optimism. Our hope is in the maker of heaven and earth. A grounded person resists despair because she knows, because he knows, their hope is not in human competence or in their own abilities. Hope is in the transformative grace and love of God. Are you grounded? Are you grounded? Of course not. None of us are. That's why we're here. That's why we have communion. We can't clean our own insides out. That's God's job. But we can pray for God to take that pride away, for God to calm us, for God to cause us to listen, and for God to remind us where our hope is. My heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I have calmed and quieted my soul. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. Let's pray that we can be grounded. Please join me. Lord, once again, we are in this place and we know that we are not the center of the universe. And how glad we are for that. Thank you that you are the one who is grounded, that you are the one who loves us, that you are the one who speaks to us when we are calm and quiet. Show us, Lord, how to serve you by being grounded. We surrender it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, as Pastor